All the good music on this show is chosen by me. To prove it, here's the Buzzcocks.
I'm in love again. Been like this before. I'm in love again. This time's true, I'm sure.
When the Lee and Herring Show started in January, Larry Grayson, Donald Pleasance and Rose Kennedy were all moving around and breathing. What a different place the world is thanks to Lee and Herring. Not that they directly killed them or anything, obviously. That would be ridiculous.
Well, I'm very glad. I'm having a little cough there, Kev. It's all right. I'm very glad about Eric Cantona suing them. Leave him alone. Kick a few more of them.
Yeah, anyway, our studio guest this week is Henry Chiansky. Hello, Henry.
Hi.
Now, Henry is an advertising consultant for the agency. You may have seen him in the news that have just come up with the Club 18 to 30 advert that shows bloke's pants... well-stuffed pants, and underneath it says, girls, how about a package holiday? Mm-hmm. What's all that about then?
Well, what it's about is that we've used the idea of a man's fully stuffed pants to suggest a sort of pun, a subtle visual pun on a package holiday and his package.
I see.
It's worked very well. Sales are up 30%, yeah.
That's good.
And we've used the same idea with a lot of other campaigns, this sort of sex theme. I mean, we're currently marketing a brand of beer called San Reno.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And what we've done is we've got a bottle of San Reno in a man's pants, with the legend, girls, how would you like this spurting down your throat underneath? It's a subtle double image.
Another one we're thinking of is,
do you remember mini milk lollies?
Oh, yeah, milk lollies, frozen milk.
Well, the sales haven't been doing too well, so we're sort of enlivening the campaign by, again, showing them in a man's pants.
Right.
It's a kind of running theme for us. With the byline, would you like to suck on this, girls?
Right.
Again, it's a subtle sort of double-edged...
There's milk running down the guy's legs and that as well.
There is, that's right.
It's quite interesting.
But that's not a pun at all.
Yeah. No, that's, well, it's sort of. It's not sort just, of visual pun.
No, not just food.
No, right, okay, leave that. It's not just food products you're doing, though, is it?
We're also, there's a bra that we're currently marketing. One of the things that we're doing with that is we're showing the bra fully stuffed again, with a woman's breasts, breasts pushed together. Underneath we've got the byline, look at my big tits.
Right. That's very subtle.
So again, it's, well, in a way it is subtle, in another way it isn't, because what it's saying is...
It's ironic, isn't it? Irony.
Yeah.
Before the show we asked Henry to come up with some sort of demos to show us how this system works, of how she might promote me and Rich using sex. How did you get on with that?
Well, I found it very easy to promote you, Stu, having met you once.
Yeah.
And so here is a tape of your advert, Stuart.
Stuart Lee, Stuart Lee, Stuart, Stuart Lee. Shag him, Stuart Lee, sexy. I'd like to sleep with him. Stuart Lee, he is like the sea, I think.
It's very good.
I like that. It's good. Very good. Tape of that.
I should think you probably have girls want to have sex with you after that.
Maybe.
It's worked.
It has. Yeah. It's good. Yeah.
What about my advert? How did that go?
Well, the idea of using sex to advertise you, Rich, was just a little bit more difficult, so I had to plump for this one, really.
Beauty of India, the magnificence of the Taj Mahal, the mystery of the Ganges.
At Richard Herring, just round the corner from this cinema.
Yeah, that's not so good, that one, is it?
It's not so sexy, but, you know, food, sex, there is a connection there.
I suppose. I quite like curry. But it's not just sex, is it, used to advertise?
No, we're also exploring the whole idea of using honesty in a kind of ironic way.
Honesty in advertising?
Well, you'll remember the case of Death Cigarettes, course, which were very, you know, which worked brilliantly in marketing terms. So we're doing another one, another beer that we're currently marketing. Nobody ever admits that beer tastes of wee, so we've got a byline under our latest advert, which is wee beer. We at Wee Beer do admit it. Our beer is made of wee, men's wee.
So you could use that with a lot of things, I guess.
Yeah, but it's specifically used for wee beer. I mean, we're also using it for a chain of nightclubs called Unpleasant Nightclubs.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Well, that's brilliant. Great.
Thank you. You
could have Bollocks Eric Idle films by that as well. So, it's time for our final look at mediocrity of the series. And what we've got this week is the Lee and Herring Mediocrity Awards.
Here we go, and starting off with most mediocre films. Stargate's impressive pedigree promised much, and the use of fast music and a scary transsexual man in the cinema trailers tricked many regular moviegoers into seeing it. This is big-budget, money-wasting mediocrity at its space Egyptian best.
Most mediocre town is Dumfries for the fifth year running.
Most mediocre animal, the horse. Although largely redundant in the mechanical age, the horse continues to be admired by small girls and minor members of the royal family.
Most mediocre ex-team. Teen Wolf star. Of the three men who played the Teen Wolf character, Michael J. Fox is once again the most mediocre for the ninth year running, as he has been ever since the death of the much more mediocre Little House on the Prairie star, Michael Landon. Having overcome his initial handicap of having appeared in the quite good Back to the Future 1, his mediocrity was sealed by his roles in The Secret of My Success, The Concierge, and Doc Hollywood, and everything else he's ever done since, which doesn't even get shown in the cinema, even in Dumfries anymore. Michael wins a Lifetime Mediocrity Award.
Most mediocre TV newsreader, Edward Sturton. Edward Sturton's smug, bewigged face has been mediocre at reading world events out at lunchtime for some time now. He knows talented newsreader Michael Burke would be much better at reading out news off a piece of paper than him, but he's equally aware that party animal Michael Burke would be unlikely to be up by 1 p.m. or accept the mediocre lunchtime news slot, which is only watched by students and old people anyway, and they're just waiting for Neighbours to start.
No time for the most mediocre crime there, which is baby stealing. This is Scott Walker with The Rope and The Colt.
And this Scott Walker song is about fighting and being a man.
Like all his other ones, then.
Yeah.
I seek the man who killed my friend. And when we meet, my life may end. My life depends upon my gun, and my gun spells hope in the land where the rope and the colt are king.
Herring, about 20 minutes from the end of their radio career on 1FM.
I swore a vow on my dying breath to ride a trail that ends in death. And death could strike with a frightening jolt of a lightning bolt in the land where the rope and the colt are king. Darling, if I should die, there's not a soul who will ever know that I loved you so was the reason why.
Coming up directly after this lovely song by Scott Walker, another of our popular parable slots, popular with everyone that is, apart from some Christians who sometimes complain.
Yeah, sorry. This sounds a bit like that spaghetti western music, doesn't it? Where that Morricone bloke copied off him.
Well, it's a tribute to him.
It's good, don't you?
Yeah, he's Scott Walker is the American Scott spaghetti western,
Morricone man.
Which is the Italian western.
Never mind, it's too complicated.
The days are dust and the nights are black. But oh, my darling, if I get back, I'll trade my gun for a wedding ring, and I'll turn my hand to the land with a rope and a colt.
The Parable of the Prodigal Son. Once there was a rich man, and he had two sons. One son was good.
Look, O my father, in the sweat of my face have I tilled the whole of the field with my bare hands.
Yes!
And a second son, who was a lazy, obstinate curmudgeon.
Son, why don't you go out and help your brother?
Well, the thing is, I want to watch a programme on the telly, oh, and then I thought I'd just go to bed, have a nap.
Oh, okay.
Idiot.
The father was wealthy and had saved a large amount of money, which he planned to distribute between the two sons upon his death.
Dad, a word in your ear, mate. I'm bored of waiting for my money, and you're living for ages. I mean, are you going to die soon or what?
Oh, I'm sorry, son.
Well, look, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just give me my half of the money now, and I'll clear off, all right?
Oh, very well, if that's what you want, son.
Yeah, it is what I want. I never want to see your stupid Cornish face again.
Yes, my son.
And with that, the bad son left for the city. The same day, the good son came to his father.
Please, oh my father, can I have £5? My bare hands are worn and cut from digging the stony field, and I thought I might buy a small trowel.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Trowels now, is it, you vain man?
Oh.
Meanwhile, the bad son arrived at the Cock and Beaver Tavern.
Oi, oi, lads, hey, the old man's coughed up and I'm flush. Nice. Drinks for everyone.
Hey! Spender,
yeah.
Stand me a baby sham and I'll make it worth your while, if you know what I mean. I mean, I'll shag you.
Nice! Oi. Yeah!
While back at the farm, the good son built an irrigation system that fed water to the homes of all the local poverty-stricken, starving, thirsty peasants.
There you are, Mrs. Ann Cooksonk. Now you will have food and water for all way.
Yes. In the town, the bad son had fallen in with a fast-living crowd who delighted in the pleasures his wealth could provide.
Yeah! Here you are, everyone! Free drugs! Have as many drugs as you like!
How many drugs have you had?
I've had 4 cocaines and 2 cracks. And a cigarette.
Ooh.
Cigarettes are drugs too.
Wow, you're great.
Yeah.
Look at my bra.
Nice.
In the meanwhile, the good son had carved a quarry out of the hill with a butter knife and used the stone to build a special school and hospital for blind children, whom he taught about the teachings of God in his spare time for free.
And so you see, God is good, for he is good.
Yes. Right, lads, Friday night, let's buy that church, make it a temple of Satan, kidnap some virgins, pump them full of drugs, kill them and eat their bodies. I'll provide the readies, all right? Oh, hang on, I've only got 1 old pence old money left. Can anybody lend me a bit?
I can't. I've just remembered I've got to go and do a thing.
Hey, yeah. Where are you all going?
Well, it was fun while it lasted, lover, but now it's over. I think you owe me that 1 pence.
Bye-bye. We're not your real friends.
Yeah, we only lied to you for your money. Do you see?
Oh, yeah, I see. Bye then. Oh, dear. No money, no friends. What am I going to do?
Better go home, I suppose.
Father, I've just got in. I've been out all day bathing the eczema of the dirtiest old disease-ridden tramps in the area in Orlaton Emollient and then smearing their sore skin with unguentum murk cream and trying to...
Yes! Oh, look! Look who has come!
Hi, folks, I'm back. I've run out of cash, Dad. I'll be straight with you. I wasted all my money, pissed it up against a wall. I'm sorry.
Oh, never mind that.
What?
Prepare a feast. Kill the fatted calf. Empty the cellar of wine. We must celebrate.
Please, I'm broke.
Oh, you can have half of what is left.
Right.
The important thing is you are back and you've realised you made a mistake.
Oh, yes, I have. I have realised
that.
No, hang on a minute, right? Look, the money left is mine, surely. That's mine.
Ah, my son. But do you not see?
Well, no, he's had his half, right, already.
No.
That means he'll get 75% of the total, and I only get 25%. That isn't fair, obviously.
Ah, but it is fair.
No, it isn't fair. Look, I've been at home, right, helping the poor, you know, and teaching God's word without getting any thanks from you, and he's been out having a great time, right? Now he's going to get more reward than me, and I did all the good things.
No. Ah, do you not understand?
Huh?
Ah.
What do you mean, ah?
Ah.
Yes, brother. Ah.
No, not ah. No, yes, not ah. No, not ah. I understand what you're trying to say, that God will welcome the worst sinner into his house, etc.
Ah, yeah,
but the fact is, shut up, in real terms, right, I've done nothing wrong, have I?
Ah.
No, not ah. No,
No, I've done nothing wrong. No, not I. I've done nothing wrong, and he's done nothing right. And yet, my brother gets more reward than me. He's been given 3 times the money I've got. And, no, not I. And I could go off now and spend, you know, he could go off now, spend what you've given him, and come back again and get more, couldn't he?
Ah.
No, not I. No, what you're, you know, what you're saying is there's no point in doing good work, right? You may as well be bad, sin, have a really good time, and then just, when you're about to die, go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be bad, I meant to be good. And then you'd still go to heaven and get exactly the same reward as someone like Mother Teresa or Brian Ricks or someone who spent their whole life acting selflessly. You know, is that your point? Is that what you're trying to teach me here?
No.
Well, it is, basically. You're saying it's better to be bad because you have the fun of being bad and then you still enjoy everything in heaven, the car.
No.
No, that's what you're saying, Dad. Admit it.
Oh, ow, ow, you're giving me a Chinese bird.
Admit it, then. Come on.
All right. Submit.
Yeah.
It is true.
Right.
You're right. That is what I'm saying.
Good. Now, let's all three of us, right, we take all the money, we go into town, we get drunk, we disobey all the commandments, and then we say sorry afterwards, yeah?
Great!
You know, brother, I used to think you were really boring, but you're all right, you are.
Well, I was annoyed, you know.
Well, shall we start at the Cock and Beaver?
Yeah! I know a girl there who'll show you her bra. Oh. It's only 50p a go.
Nice!
And so the three of them went and blew every last penny, and just before they died in the gutter of drug overdoses and sexually transmitted diseases, they looked up to heaven and asked forgiveness, and they were welcomed into God's kingdom and sat at the highest table with all the saints and archangels and Jeffrey Dahmer, the Milwaukee cannibal, who had converted to Christianity at the last minute as well. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's nearly the end of the show, and this series, are you going to be glad to finish, Stu?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not. So, anyway, here's a song that sums up what it means to do our job. The great Neil Innes and his song, How Sweet to Be an Idiot.
How sweet to be an idiot, as harmless as a cloud, too small to hide the sun.
If we have upset or annoyed you at all over the last 6 weeks, we're sorry, but we are just idiots. We can't do any real harm.
That's right, that was Neil Innes there. And if that song sounded familiar, then it's probably because you've heard this. It's called Whatever, the last single from the award-winning Manchester fighting yob band Oasis, who are currently the subject of a legal action, and here's why.
I'm free to be whatever I... Whatever.
sounds like Mark Radcliffe, that bloke. Cheeky sods, anyway.
When the Lee and Herring Show started in January, Jason Donovan had never had a cocaine. Now he has had two cocaines, according to Rich. So, Jason, if you're listening, it is Rich you should sue if you haven't had a cocaine, not any of the others of us. What a different place the world is, thanks to Lee and Herring.
Some damage limitation there. time to see how Pete and his new girlfriend Anne Freddo are getting on. Hello.
The favourite stain is that on the wall. It looks like a sort of swan stuck on a soldier's back. That's nice. So it's good.
Oh, I forgot I brought you Valentine's card.
Oh, thanks. That's nice. Nice colour.
Yeah, it's from the card shop on Bedford Hill where all the cards have gone blue in the window. And the old lady there has gone blue as well. Yeah. I stole it when she was looking at a bird.
Oh, thanks. To Peter from Secret Mystery Admirer, Anne Freddo. Oh, would you like some of these, by the way? They're sort of like cheap, sort of fake love heart sweets. They're called Snuzzle's Kiss Mouths. You get 50 packets from a pound from the Everything a Pound shop on Balham High Road.
Mine says, you're great, but your is spelled Y-O-U-R. Apostrophe.
And mine says, my lover. Do you like yours?
It tastes very, very slightly of tea.
Oh. This is one other thing as well, actually, some food if you want, because I brought it in for my Valentine's feature. You know, like, hearts are romantic, aren't they? So you can have this that I brought in.
Oh, it's a heart.
Yeah, pig's heart. Mm. I'll cook it with my lighter if you want.
Yum.
That's lovely. Little thing, we're doing this TV series. We can't afford great advertising campaigns like all the Channel 4 shows get. So this is another bit of our mischief. We want you to go out and go to your local newsagent with cards advertising our show. If you don't like us, you can put Lee and Herring a crap, but you have to pay for it. Put it up in the newsagent's windows, wherever
please
your newsagent has.
Thanks.
So please do that, and hopefully we'll get hundreds of thousands of those to advertise our show to sort of old women who are looking for cheap washing machines and things. Anyway, now it's time to reveal our best chew. The best you in third place, thanks to some block voting, came the Smeldon bar. Surprisingly.
Yeah, made up.
Please
made
spell
up
Kev. Second was Wham. Would have won, but for a false petition with wrong names like Anal Veruca and Mark E. Smith and Fred Weston.
Mark Lamar's on there as
Mark
well.
Mark Lamar
obviously
also
didn't really sign. So Mark Lamar doesn't like chews, does he?
The worst one. Than the second best one, but the best chew was rightly the Stinger bar, which I like. I rang Swizzle's Matt Lowe to tell them the wonderful chew news. Hiya, I'd like to speak to the head of chews, please.
Just one moment.
Thank you.
Hey, through now.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, who am I talking to?
Tell them Matt Lowe.
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
In what way?
What's your name?
Trevor, I'm sorry, my name is Trevor, T-R-E-V-O-R.
Yeah.
Matt Lowe, M-A-T-L-O-W.
Right. Okay, thank you very much. This is Richard Herring here from the Lee and Herring Show on Radio 1 FM.
Right.
We've been holding a poll of our listeners over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
To find out what Britain's favourite chew bar is in Britain.
Right.
And I'm pleased to be able to tell you, Trevor, that the Stinger chew bar has come out as the most popular chew bar in Britain.
Oh, I'm very happy to know that.
Are you?
Thank you very much indeed.
That's all right. How do you feel about that?
I'm top of the world.
Do you? Would you like to send a message out to the Chew fans on Radio 1 about that?
Oh, dear, you've got me on the spot here, haven't you?
Yeah,
obviously, I'm highly delighted that our Lion Stinger bar has come out top of the Yost Chew bar rating.
Yeah.
It's a line that we have devised over a number of years. We have researched the chew bar market, and we have found a flavour... That is not a flavour of its own, but it is the Stinger flavour.
It is the Stinger flavour. It is actually my own personal favourite as well.
Which we think is the flavour that the our chew-eating public want.
Any chance of you sending us a few boxes of the Stinger to send out to some prize winners?
A pleasure.
Thanks a lot. I'm pleased you're so ecstatic about the win. Okay,
thanks
very much. Well done, Trevor.
Okay, all the best. Bye. Thank you for ringing. Bye.
When the Lee and Herring Show started back in January, no one could have guessed what the favourite chew bar of people listening to Radio 1 at 9 p.m. on Mondays who could be bothered to write in and say was. Now we do know. It is the Stinger Bar. What a different and better place the world is, thanks to Lee and Herring.
What a nice bloke Trevor Matlow was there. If you're listening, Trevor, thanks a lot. And we're looking forward to the chew bars, which obviously will go to the public.
I loved his use of the phrase, the chew bar eating public. Brilliant idea of this sort of mass of people eating chews. Anyway, this is Shirley Bassey. And this record is called The Party's Over. And here it is.
It's fairly apt, isn't it, that's true? Because, in a way, the party is over. It's a metaphor. The party.
What do you mean?
Well, the party is our show, if you see. And it's over because we're going to finish broadcasting and not be on the radio anymore for a bit.
But look, he's right, it's true. It's sincere thanks, though, genuinely, to everyone.
That's
I know, it's just sincere thanks to everyone.
It's not here, it's a record.
Sincere thanks to everyone who's written in. It was genuinely very encouraging that we sort of felt we were on the right track rather than...
Yeah, we only had two people who didn't like it as well, so that's pretty good. And we had loads of letters, so really, thanks a lot.
Hopefully we'll be back one day in the autumn on the higher salary and with more free stuff being sent to us. But if you did enjoy the show, stop writing to us about it, because we know that it's good. Write to Matthew Bannister or someone and tell him.
But you can keep on writing to us at that TV address, room 3301... BBC TV Centre, Wood Lane, W12.
Yeah, so next week, taking over from us is Alan Parker. The man behind Alan Parker is Simon Munnery, who is more talented than us, but doesn't work as hard. And there's two of us as well to compensate for that, so it'll probably turn out just about the same as us.
Mm. And you play in his band, don't you? So you've got a vested interest in saying that.
I have.
And he's on 1FM as well, like us, so we all have a vested interest.
In promoting.
Listen to him, he's really good. He's much better than all the other losers they have on in our slot when we can't do it. Like Kevin Elton. Just to reiterate, if you want to get that Christopher South photo, we want signed photos of Christopher South. You're going to have to write to him first, pretend you're his fan, get a signed photo sent back to your house, then send that on to us at that TV address, room 3301, BBC TV Centre.
Yeah, and write to him, Christopher South, BBC Radio, Cambridge, Cambridge, Cambridgeshire.
And remember, if you want to write to Just 17, Sugar, anything about Peter Bainham, and put adverts about us in your local newsagent shops,
then you can.
So do that. Yeah. That'd be lovely. But we have unfortunately got to go now, me and Stu, because the limo's waiting to take us over to our room 3301 at TV Centre.
Yep.
So, are you looking forward to that, Stu?
Yes, I am,
Do you want to come along as well, Ken?
Yeah. And while we're in the limo, why don't we wear monocles and laughingly drive over people's pets?
Yeah, great. Idea. You can be on the telly show if you like. We can find a party. Right, okay. Rekha, do you want to come?
Yeah, if you can drop me off at the film studios, that'd be great.
Good, yeah. We will do. All right, then, off we go then.
I'm really pleased we're going.
No, you're not coming, Pete.
Sorry.
Obviously, you're not coming. Don't be ridiculous. Not having you on telly, and it'd be horrible.
I could wear a hat or something.
Just
cover up my face.
No. See you.
Will I ever see you again?
No.
Yeah, you will. No, you will see us again, Pete. If you look through the window of Curry's TV shop in Balham on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock in April, you'll be able to see us.
We won't be able
to see you though.
We've got to go, Pete, because the limo's waiting with drugs. Four cocaines. We've got one each. And Louise from Eternal's in there.
Anne will stay with me then. Anne, Freddo.
What?
Anne Freddo, my girlfriend.
Pete, Rebecca. Rebecca is Anne Freddo. There's no such person.
It was me acting.
It was just acting.
With glasses on.
Why you put those glasses on?
Yeah, it was just acting.
I thought it was Anne Freddo from Balham.
No, she doesn't exist.
Will you be my girlfriend, Rebecca?
You idiot.
Anne Freddo.
Anne Freddo's not a real name, is it?
Come on, see you then, Pete.
Probably someone from Radio 2 will take you on, a sort of novelty gonk man or something. Thanks a lot.
See you.
Thanks for listening.
They've given me some bit of paper. Everyone involved in the show during the series was Stuart Lee, Richard Herring, Kevin Eldon, Rebecca Front, Ronnie Ancona, Sally Phillips, Alistair McGowan, John Whitehall, Ian Harker, Gary Parker, Ellie Keane, Janet Helen, Dawn Yolanta, Chris Neal, and Anne Freddo. If you want to write to Richard and Stuart in television, I won't. But it's Fister Fun, room 3301, TV Centre, Wood Lane, London, W12. Mark Radcliffe next. The party's over. Do the Hucklebuck. Do the Hucklebuck.
This download is brought to you by www.fistoffun.net.